hello, hello. Welcome to Life with a Girlfriend.
Or as I like to say, more Life with a Girlfriend. Because we just want it all.
We do. We want more life.
I always think of the, you know, Greg, your brother, when I played that song for him, you know, our intro song. And then I think the next day he called me and he said, "Damn you, mother. Damn you. I can't get that song out of my head." It's true. I was a yeah-yeah girl.
I was a yeah-yeah girl.
Back in France in the 60s. Oh, yeah.
And I want to be a yeah-yeah girl, even though I wasn't born yet. But
that's right. You are. You definitely are one, honey.
I want to be. Yeah. Or I'm from the loins of a yeah-yeah girl. Is that how
that
works?
Did you say loins?
I did. I said loins.
That's kind of a funny word.
It is. It's like lion, but mixed up.
Right.
Well, today we're going to have a wonderful program like we always do.
Thank you for just putting that out there.
Mom always says, I want you to have more words than wonderful, but every show is wonderful.
That's right.
I learn something new every day. And
you do.
And I know our audience does, and as Oprah would say, have those aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have those aha moments.
It's a palindrome. I just don't realize that.
Oh, yes, it is. And sometimes we have those aha moments where we're just laughing hysterically inside.
and the tears run down our legs.
Yes. And we've been interviewing authors from the new book, Unwavering Strength. And it's a compilation of different stories of authors talking about their biggest crisis, their biggest trials, tribulations, and how using unwavering strength, they've turned it into their biggest strength, their biggest, or how we can get through this, the crisis, and see life on the other side, and see more life on the other side. And it's been such a joy hearing these stories. And some of the authors' time, it's, you know, a lot of time has passed.
Yes.
So there's a bigger view around the situation.
A bigger perspective.
A bigger perspective.
Yes.
And others are right in the midst of it still.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart has grown so much during these interviews because I think we don't like to talk about it, especially us coaches who are law of attraction coaches, and everybody out there must think positively and speak positively, and yet sometimes which we have no control over, life throws us these huge baskets of crap that we're posted change into something, something better,
right,
or work with.
Yes. And what does not kill us makes us stronger.
Right, because I don't even think using the word lemons and turning them into lemonade is appropriate for our authors who, you know, dealing with deaths of loved ones, children, of marriages, of businesses, physical health problems. I mean, things that we all know, and sometimes we go, please don't let this touch me.
Right.
And yet, in our lifetime, unless we die early, it always does. Mm-hmm. Something happens. And I remember listening to interviewing Dr., I can't think of his name, loved him, Terry, Dr. Terry.
Terry Gordon?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he mentioned how the valleys of our life make our the views much better when we get on top, and it's so true. And having him dealing with his story and still dealing with it,
right,
and taking care of his son who is, you know, now a paraplegic. I mean,
quadriplegic.
Thank you. I mean, so we that everyone in life has these situations they come through and they go, I have to get to the other side. I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we're interviewing Anya Sophia Mann.
Listen, I know it's cliche, but
I know
if you can't find a way to get better, you do end up bitter. And we've seen those people who, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later still carrying that sack of crap.
Right.
You know, and saying, you know, oh, wait a minute, let me pull it out of my pocket and show you my wound, you know, and how it debilitated me. And that's where I feel like I'm grateful to hear these stories of people that just, you know, lay it all out.
And that's
transparent.
Oh, for sure.
And say, hey, wait a minute, it was not easy, it was not a joy, but here I am, you know, to tell about it. And yes, I've gained, you know, a lot from it.
Every author says they've gained so much from this experience. Their spirit has grown. Their soul has transformed. I mean, it really is a spiritual awakening in a lot of ways. What I love about it is that in the book Unwavering Strength, coming out the end of September, you can pre-order. You can go to unwaveringstrength.com. And there's at least one story you can relate to where you go, yes, that's happened to me, or I can understand that. I can see, and I'm like, oh, I didn't think of it this way. Anya Sophia Mann, I love her website. She talks about...
She's our first guest.
Yes. She has a Quantum Alchemy radio show on Blog Talk Radio, but I love this idea she has on her website, a new perspective is a new reality. And sometimes we just once agree...
Isn't that true?
Oh, it is. And what a great... I mean, that is totally being an alchemist, changing your perspective to give you a new reality.
You bet. I always like to say, you know, if you can't get... You've got to be like... Go as high as the eagle.
Yes.
How high can you go to look at your problem to where then, you know, the perspective finally shifts? And you see, oh, wait a minute. Okay, so it's not this big monster, ogre, whatever it feels like to me. And sometimes you do have to go that high or even higher. Yeah. To the moon,
to
baby.
And you look, I can't see the problem now. Literally, I can't see the problem. I don't know where it's at. So you're right, Mom. Sometimes you have to go so high that the problem becomes so insignificant to the rest of the world. And then you find the balance of it, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Or you see like, oh, oops, how dare I? You know, or like, you know, you hear somebody else's story and you go, oh, wait a minute, I'm making a mountain out of this molehill. You know,
and I choose not to.
Yeah,
I choose not to.
Then your perspective.
And I love that one Bible quote. I don't even know. I can't even remember what it is.
Which one?
Oh, you know, give me good things to eat, so that my youth can be restored, like the eagle.
That's right. That's right.
I just love our good things for my mouth. That's it. Good things for my mouth, so that my youth can be restored, like the eagles.
Yes.
And so many times I think that our worries, I don't want to say age us, but that they take away our youth.
They take away our youth.
And we fly high enough to see a new perspective and regain our youth. Because we know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
We know what regaining our youth means. It doesn't mean I don't have any wrinkles.
No, it means your spirit is it's on that fresh ground.
Exactly.
You know, it's just fresh. And you love to be, when you find those people and then you meet them, don't you love to be in their energy? I mean, sometimes you can tell it's a twinkle in the eye or just the way they laugh or just something that, you know, they've found that fresh ground.
Yes.
I sound like I'm doing NPR now. Oh, this is Fresh Ground with Christine Marie and Julie.
Yes. Well, and now we'll
stay tuned for Snowballs in Hell. No, just kidding.
Why not? And so we're going to be talking to Anna Sophia Mann, and her website is Anya.
Oh, my God.
Anya Sophia Mann. And her website is AnyaSophiaMann.com. And her radio show is Quantum Alchemy Radio. Anya, are you there, sweetheart?
I am here, love.
Ah, hey. Lovely.
Wonderful.
Before...
And we have a little ole echo.
Oh, we have an echo. I don't hear it.
Let's see if we can.
Yes, engineer, could you possibly fix Anya's echo, maybe? And
little ole.
Is it still there, Anya? Is it too?
It's perfect.
Awesome!
It's perfect.
Thank you, engineer.
Oh, Dawn with the magic wand.
Yay! I love that. Anya, before we get, first of all, you're a visionary, intuitive coach. I love your website. I love what you do. I love your radio show, Quantum Alchemy. You're also doing the Unwavering Strength radio show, too, on Wednesdays on Blog Talk, where you're interviewing authors. I don't know how you interview yourself. I would like to hear that interview. but I would love to first start off because... I saw you, your picture, and you know, you're an intuitive, and I know you have a daughter, and I thought, my mom's an intuitive as well. And I go, and I think, I wanted to ask your daughter, wasn't it hard growing up with an intuitive mom?
It's creepy.
And so how do you think your mothering skills were toward your daughter? Did you just know everything that was going on without being told?
Okay, so did you hear me say it's creepy?
Creepy.
You know?
Exactly.
It's like having sex with your husband in your mother's house.
Oh no.
There's something weird about it.
It is always been my burden with my mom, who I adore. She's my best friend, but because she is like you, has that intuitive nature, there's always that, oh gosh, I can't pull anything over on her. I gotta come to her totally honest.
Right,
because she knows more than she knows.
That's right. Okay. Oh my gosh.
So can I jump in around that?
Yes, please do.
Okay, cool. So this is what works really well for me, and that is I set a very, very clear intention, and this includes my friends, my grandchildren, etc. I set a very clear intention that I only know what is for the highest good of all in any moment. That I receive only information that they need to hear. And that turned the volume down big time in my life in terms of family and friends. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. Mom, did you hear that?
I heard it, honey. And you just bothered me, honey.
Yeah. So it turned down the volume,
yes.
And it also, this is a very interesting already conversation so far, because what that brings up for me is it isn't always easy. And what I mean by that is sometimes people think that you can read their minds. Right. And I have a belief that I'm only ever receiving information that the other person needs to know. And I would never say anything to them unless they are open and willing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so I understand. It's a creepy feeling thinking that someone's in your mind. They're not. Because everything in life is vibration and frequency and energy. And it's just a matter of that you're picking up on the frequency, the energy. It's like, for me personally, it's like, you know, the morning of 9/11 and my consciousness was inside the plane. And it kind of hovers. It's a feeling that I get. It's like a hovering. And then I became aware of, I heard the words, this is a speeding bullet. And I asked, consciously, who's responsible? And I was shown this person that had this white turban on. I don't know much about global things and all. I'm just not, I don't watch TV. I don't listen to, you know, much of news or anything of that nature. And then later in the newspaper at the grocery, I saw the picture of the man that I saw, of course, which was Obama. You know, bin Laden, and I'm like, oh, that's the man that I was shown as to who's responsible for the speeding bullet. Mm-hmm. And so one might ask, why am I getting this information? The answer is very simple, because you are an alchemist, and you can do something about, now here we go, girls, the fear factor.
Yeah, right.
You know, and if we can just love our way through fear, I think of, you know, the fear that your mom can read your mind and, you know, all that. It's not true. It's not true. It's only true if it's true for you. Does that make sense?
Oh, it definitely does. And it's so sweet that the way you put it, because what I hear from my mom is that when you said she, you know, like you only say what you feel is the best and highest good, and that's your intention. And my mom and I are very close, and I know that that's her intention as well. And yet, sometimes I just don't want to hear it. I'm always appreciative.
But on some level, you do, or you wouldn't
be hearing
it.
In some level, I do.
So take responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah, take some personal responsibility for that. I'm speaking to the listeners now.
Yes.
If something comes in your space, don't blame the other person. You brought it in.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, and isn't that the best philosophy? Because then all of a sudden, you are the creator of your life. You are the alchemist because this is you brought it in.
And I have loved the word alchemy since I first heard it, and this idea, you know, the turning lead into gold, you know, turning whatever is your challenge, whatever is the situation, and reimagining it, turning it into, the gold of your life. I mean that is to me like that's like the coolest thing. That's what, you know, I'd consider myself an alchemist as well.
Yes, and in this moment, I cannot imagine any other reason that I was born on this planet than to alchemize, meaning when I hear somebody's story, no matter what that story is, just like you're listening to me now, I can only imagine our role in each other's lives is to receive that information through and with our hearts and just love the person we're listening to.
Mm.
And that changes their story.
Doesn't it, though?
And that's why you are who you are with your radio show interviewing. And Anya, I want to talk about your story. In the new book, Unwavering Strength, The Divorce that Enlightened My Life. Tell me a little about that and why you chose to be part of Unwavering Strength.
Well, I think it chose me. You know, I mean, that sounds like a cliche, but I really do believe that it chose me. Mm-hmm. From the standpoint of on this past Christmas day, I had not finished a story that I was writing about different aspects of my life, and all of a sudden, at 4 a.m, which is when I wake, lit a beautiful fire, it's Christmas Day, beautiful cup of tea, and all of a sudden, the ending just came. And then I came across this website out of nowhere, don't know how or where, when or why, and it was to submit a chapter to Unwavering Strength, a story. And I went, whoa. And so I did it. And the rest is history, as they say.
Mm.
Yes. And so now to the chapter, The Divorce That Enlightened My Life. First, I must share with you the original title. Divorce is a Living Death.
Mm. Yes.
Mm.
Mm.
So that will kind of sums up my journey. Divorce is a living death. That sums up my journey. And the point is, girlfriends, I had no idea how attached I was to my role in other people's lives, my husband's life, my children's life, etc., being a good daughter, being a good wife, being a good mother, being a good sister, la, la, la. I had no idea what that meant in terms of who am I underneath all those roles that I was playing. And I was only ever playing out their idea of who I needed to be to them. And, you know, I think of myself as being what I call a corporate housewife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, my husband being, you know, an executive and blah, 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 and going out with clients. I mean, you dress the part, you play the role, the children are dressed and fed. And I was like, then with the divorce and everything got shattered, the house, you know, the house became mine and then it got sold. And all the stuff went into, you know, the furniture. I don't know, 14 rooms goes into storage. I'm in a smaller condo. All that goes up in smoke in the storage. The car that was my half of the divorce or whatever, the block broke, and it's like one by one in succession. These possessions that I identified with dissipated. And it's like there was no coffin to close the lid on. There was no coffin to put in the ground and pour the dirt over. It was like a living death of identifications and attachments that I crawled out from under. And believe me, girlfriends, it was a belly crawl, raw, skin like scraped off, where I began to come to the realization, there's a me underneath all those walls. And now I'm going to equate that to, holy moly, that's the unwavering strength that gets you through anything, for yourself or for anybody.
And I bet you were probably surprised that that unwavering strength was there while you were married.
I had no idea.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, because they were separate roles I was playing.
Yeah.
One didn't overlap the other. A great lover, a great wife, a great friend.
Yeah, you know,
friend.
We're so, at least my generation, is like we were just ingrained to be good girls. You know, good wives, good mommies, you know, good this, whatever we did, you know, we're just... You know, smile sweetly and do it good. But you know, when, you know, listening to you, it sounds a little bit like, you know, when you go into the army or something, and they literally strip you of everything and break you down, and to be able to just again, you know, rebuild. You know what your unwavering strength did for you.
Yes, absolutely. And for me, the army was spirits or God or whatever, divine mother, whatever language fits right now, stripped my skin off my body, just ripped it right off.
Whoa.
Did I get to what's really raw and real is the reality of there is a you. There is a being that's happening underneath all the other stuff, and all the other stuff is there to ignite who you are.
Was there one moment when you could feel, guess what I'm trying, you could feel the stirring, like, wait a minute, I feel this power coming through. You start to feel it.
Yes, absolutely. I remember the moment. I'll never forget it. It shaped the rest of my life.
Right.
And that was in the good company of a very enlightened therapist who said to me, in the perfect moment that I could receive it and take it in, she said to me, you can't make a blind man see. And in that moment, my life dominoed back to early childhood, trying to get mommy to see me, daddy to see me, sister to see me, brother to see me, and I saw all the roles I played trying to get someone to see me, and how much I altered who I am and was born to be so that they could see me. And so now the rest of the journey of my life in these later years has been living who I was born to be. And that's not canceling out those roles, girlfriends, you get right?
Oh, no.
Right. Right.
And I'm sure when, in the midst of all this happening, I mean, you mentioned the divorce, and I know in your story you mentioned, too, that your children actually, were you living on the East Coast during your divorce?
Yes.
And then your husband lived in California, and then your children at some point chose to live in California.
Yes. Now, well, who wouldn't be? As early teens. My former husband moved with his business out to California, and so, of course, the first summer after the divorce, they, of course, wanted to go visit Dad. Yes, absolutely. I flew them out there. Mm-hmm. And I still can see their faces when they drove me back to the airport to fly home. Then I got the phone call early September. Hey, Mom, can we go to school here just one semester to see if we like it? I, in the naivety of me and in the, the protection of whatever comes in to protect you from trauma, right. You know, I was, yes, never, ever, ever thinking for one moment, never for one moment. And then, of course, the next phone call came. Hey, Mom, we love it here. They happened to have been the first class to go into that, what was that movie series on the TV?
901.
They were in that school.
Oh, no.
They were in that.
What could you have done?
Okay. All right. So there's their destiny and there's my destiny. And what I can tell you is this. I did not get in the way of the destiny of my children. Okay.
Yes.
So, but the point is I was clueless.
Yeah.
As to, number one, I was clueless as to emotions and how much emotions drive our behavior and either put us in bed or take us out of bed every day. I mean, for a year, it didn't go so well. It was, whoa. I mean, I prayed for physical pain over emotional pain.
Yeah. Sure, oh, sure. And I wonder, I mean, when you're going through this and the loss keeps coming and the hits keep coming to get you to yourself and your unwavering strength.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sure you're like, when will this stop? When will this, I went off the ride now, please, no more.
Yes, yes, yes. And I remember that moment, actually. I was on the side of my bed, and I remember the picture, you know, having been born into Catholic religion. I'm not a practicing Catholic now, but having born into those, rituals, I knelt on the side of my bed as an adult, and I gave it all up. I can't do it. I gave it up. I gave it all up.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. Take me now. And I will say to you, this is just my experience, a beam of something, call it light, call it electricity, call it something, a beam of something, like the moon beamed on me, mm-hmm. came through my body, and I felt it lift from me in mm-hmm. that moment on my knees on the side of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Something was lifted or taken from me, and I haven't been the same since in a positive way.
Yes. Mm. I can feel
I
want to say thank you for sharing your story in such an honest way with us, because someone is going through the same things right now. I know.
Mm.
And hearing it going, I know I can't see the bigger picture yet, but it will come. I want to say this one line real quick, Anya. In your story, you talk about the decision brought relief from the haunting, soul-stealing pain of our escalating, irreconcilable differences. I'm talking about your divorce there and your marriage. And I can only laugh at this word now because this happened to you a while ago, the soul-stealing pain, because my mom has used that phrase in a different way. She says, oh, honey, your father sometimes can just be soul-murdering.
Well, I've got 45 years in.
Yes. And sometimes, not all the time, but just a little bit here and there. And so when I read that soul-stealing pain, I totally understood what you
meant. And I totally understood it, too.
That was very descriptive and very, I got it right then, what you meant. Anya, first of all, I want to say everybody can go to your website, Anya Sophia Mann. It's M-A-N-N, and Anya is A-N-Y-A, AnyaSophiaMann.com. And through your website, you can go right to her radio show. It's on Blog Talk. on Wednesday mornings, and you have your Quantum Alchemy radio show, and then also the Unwavering Strength radio show afterwards.
Julie,
yes.
Do you think, Anya, do you have a few extra minutes? I'm thinking we should continue chatting. Do you have a few extra minutes?
Let's chat away.
All right.
Okay, so, engineer, don't worry about our break right now. We're okay. No need for a break.
Because I'm chomping at the bit to respond to Soul Stealing Pain.
Okay. Yes, that's what I thought.
All right, great. I'll give you the floor right now and talk about
it. By the way, your mom is very intuitive.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I mean by soul stealing pain is everything that was happening that felt like pain was waking me up to have the courage to stand up in who I am and say, 23 years later and 2 children, I'm ready to move forward, and this configuration called a marriage needs to change shape. And having the courage to do that brought me into the confidence, the spiritual confidence, the spiritual power of words to shift worlds. And in that, you know, came about the finalizing of the marriage. But was it finalizing, I ask, or was it the beginning of the reason that I was born?
Mm-hmm. Mm. I love that phrase you use, spiritual confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we probably all want to have more of.
Yes.
We know that our spiritual foundation.
And I like to think of it as a practice, that, you know, a daily ongoing practice to, you know, claim that spiritual confidence.
Mm. Yeah, and that comes in direct proportion to aligning. I call it AAA, aligning, attuning, and allowing.
Mm.
Okay? And by the way, girlfriends, and all the listeners, this is what is exactly happening right now. Through the vibration of our voices, not so much the words that we are saying in this moment, through the vibration of our voices, we are aligning, we are attuning, and allowing us as a tripod, if you will, that's ricocheting out into the listenership. And they're either turned it off and they're doing the laundry, or their ear is a little bit closer. So it's aligning, attuning, and allowing, the AAA effect. And what that then does, which is happening with us as a trilogy, the vibration, the frequency is rising. Can you feel it?
Oh, absolutely.
And then we become a field upon which the listeners are entering into that field, and they are being affected positively as well. Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you just love being you?
Mm-hmm.
How can you help not?
I love
you world. Love yourself at this point. You just love being you.
Yes, I love being me. I love being me. And I want everybody out there to say that right now. I love being me. Mom, do you
and
know
that?
I love the word, I love being me, but I love the word allow. There's so much, at least for me, there's so much grace in that word.
Mm.
And I can remember, I think it was in the 70s or something, I read something like, you know, you don't have to, I came from a family who had to say everything, you know, the Italian, and I read someplace, you know, you can just keep it to yourself. You don't have to say what you, and that was like the beginning of just like I could allow someone else to be who they are, not add my 2 cents, and that's what I went on to get my master's in psychotherapy. And it's interesting because here I am doing a radio show, but I consider myself more a listener rather than you know, a talker. But this, just this idea of, if you just think of that word, just allow. There's so much grace in there. It's just, there's mercy. It's all good stuff, you know. And we want to align with it, and we want to feel that field, that quantum field that pulls us. That pulls us to the good stuff.
You just spoke so powerfully. You just spoke to what is really the field, the environment, to listen. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a hint, girlfriends, and see if you can get it in the moment. This is not a test. I know you know this. Mm-hmm. In the word listen, is another word using all those letters, is what you need to be to fully listen to another human being. What is it? Mm-hmm. Sitting right there. In the word listen, use all the letters. What do you need to be in order to listen? I'll give you a hint. It's going on right now.
It's got to be like,
don't say a word. Don't say a word. It's going on right now. Come on, Dawn. Text them. You got it. I know you do.
I don't know.
Silent.
Enlist. I don't know.
Silent.
Silent.
Oh, my gosh. You know, all I kept thinking was enlist. It's like we're talking about the Army.
Well, and you can say, Mom, your intuitive voice says still. Stillness.
Yes.
That was an it was silent.
Yes.
Yes.
I love it. In listen, there's, I love that. That is
there's
so
silence.
Cool.
Yes. That, you know what? Very powerful.
I don't know how good a radio it is, but okay. Now for a moment of silence.
Coming back.
We dare you now to enter that quantum field.
You've got a great laugh on you. I love it. I want to kind of talk to you real quick about, you ask, in the story you talk about, you ask yourself a question every day that kind of keeps you focused on your growth. Mm. And then, where am I showing strength today?
Yes. Yes.
That's a powerful question.
Yeah.
And also, it's a right question.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these wrong questions that we ask ourselves, like, you know, how come I effed up today? Or what's, you know? But there are these right questions. And our brain wants to answer the right questions. And how can we show our strength today?
Yeah. Stay away from how. Stay away from how, because then you get like wicked, like logical. Am I doing it right? And just kind of be with, where am I showing my strength today? That's what got me through this, you know, dissolving of all and just identifying with all those roles. Mm-hmm. In other words, the underlying question to where am I showing strength today is, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And answering the above question showed me who I am. I am unwavering strength. Waking up and putting my feet on the floor is a conscious decision, if you make it be.
You bet.
And the rest of the day will be
good. What it feels like too, Anya, what it feels like to me too is that you, once you got it, you wanted to give it. Away.
Yes. Not a choice. Not a choice. And so now let's go to yes. Y-E-S. your essential self. Yes. Once you tap into it, your essential self, yes, you move forward in a very congruent, spiritually confident way in life. And that could mean moving through the way without saying a word to anybody, knowing that you're making a difference with every breath, with every thought, with every action. Yes.
With our energy, we are our essential self. Yes.
Yes. And so what that brings up is the word no. I love the word no. Two letters, no, N-O. Every time you say no to something, you're saying yes to Y-E-S, your essential self.
Yes.
Oh, I'll never forget the day that a friend asked me to take them to the airport. We all know what it's like to do an airport run. And I said no. Mm-hmm. It probably was one of the most empowered moments I ever felt in my life.
Yes, exactly. Other than helping somebody move. You know, I always like those people that go, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? And you go, oh, I don't know. Nothing. And you go, oh, great, because, you know, I'm you can do this for me. And then you're like, oh, I got caught in that, darn it.
Yeah. No, every no is a yes to you. So a no might sound something like, I understand that you're moving. I understand you need help. But I made a commitment to myself that I won't do things that I resent later.
Yeah. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm. And people like, dude, I get it. And they're calling the movers.
About you say that I disagree with you. You know, no one can say that. That's perfect. That's perfect, Anya. So, Anya, before we let you go, is there any one last thing? And we've had a wonderful conversation with you tonight.
Yeah, I've adored it. This has been wonderful.
It's gone in so many fun directions. What would you like to tell our audience before you leave?
I share a question, and that is, when you look at all the roles that you play in life, from work to mother, father, daughter, cousin, aunt, all those things, just ask yourself one simple question. Is this all of who I am? Or is it a role that I'm playing? Mm. And is all of who I am in that role? Ooh.
Oh. Wow. I love that.
Uh-huh.
This has been so awesome.
Yeah. I've got lots of notes here, too. A lot of different words I'm
Anya,
learning.
You're so cool.
You're so cool.
And it's amazing. Julie always says, you went through it, so we don't have to. We get to experience some of your, all your wisdom that you gleaned from, from your experiences in life. And that's, we thank you for that, for sure.
Can I just jump in with one more thing?
Yes.
I didn't go through it, so you don't have to. I went through it so that you could recognize yourself in it.
Yes.
Woo!
Amen to that. Love Amen. That. Yes. That's the thing. Woo-hoo.
Okay, girls. Okay, girls. I love you all.
Love you, too. I love you.
Thank you so much.
Anya, you can go to her website, AnyaSophiaMann.com, her radio show, Quantum Alchemy. Also on Wavering Strength Radio Show on Blog Talk.
Yes.
You can get all of it right there at AnyaSophiaMann.com.
What a pleasure.
What a
wonderful guest.
Thank you so much,
Anya.
You're welcome. Good night, girls.
Good night. Have a great night. Oh, lovely. That was wonderful.
That was great.
That was wonderful. And it was so, I was so pleased that she was willing to talk more after the break because, and our engineer was grateful that he was listening and said, no break.
because it just kept on going. Mm-hmm. And I love
you know, I was tuning in the whole time, but I was in a quandary. Did she really want to go on break or not? Because right after you were saying, oh, we're going to just continue, and it was kind of like, hmm. So I apologize. You ran into a great role with her, so I made a decision, actually.
Oh, you really?
Yeah.
It was really awesome.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
I
wasn't quite sure. I think at that point, I let it roll, and then I wasn't quite sure whether you wanted to continue to let it roll, and then I thought, yeah, I think they do.
Yes, thank you so much, engineer.
And you see, this is why we have to keep
it.
Yes, we have to interview our engineer sometime.
I know, because he's a wizard on the board.
He is a wizard
on the board.
That's right.
He's got one ear to our show and he's so intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
And if we create a website for him, he'd be the intuitive engineer who knows his host so well.
That's
thank
right.
you, Don. I'm giving you the I'm not worthy sign right now because I'm so impressed with you,
but
sir.
But Julie, he is the man behind the curtain. That's for sure.
Exactly, exactly. So everyone, that was a great, great show tonight. And maybe we'll leave it. Maybe we'll just end it here. What do you think?
I don't know. Do you want it?
I mean, we got a little more time left. Engineer Don, are we okay to keep on going for a little while?
Oh, yeah. Roll on, ladies.
All right. Thank you.
We shall.
We shall. And because where we were heading for is just this idea. First of all, I feel just so warm and fuzzy inside.
I know. We were going to talk about happiness tonight.
I know.
And we are happy. We're like genuinely happy right now. Now, that's weird. Is that spooky?
It is spooky. Well, talking about the three of us together and raising our vibration.
Yes.
And Don, who has our engineer who has a good vibration, always
has a good vibration.
Always have a good vibration going. But it really does activate my light body.
Yes.
And the light body work. And people, when we do your meditation work, and it probably comes to us in different forms. But instantly, we know when we're in that grid, that expansive grid of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a higher energy. And by the end of the show or by the end of this time, we feel uplifted.
Mm-hmm. We do, don't we?
Yes, we do. And it has kind of come full circle because in the beginning of the show, we talked about seeing our problems from the perspective of the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Going higher up.
Yeah, not the ego, but the ego.
Thank you. Not the ego.
Oh, I'm sure our ego would love to see our problems. It's like, have a seat, ego. Put your boots up on the couch here.
my ego has no problem sharing its problems.
Yeah.
And letting me know how I got there. and so forth. So luckily I can switch that and turn it to the ego's perspective.
Yeah.
And as so Anya Sophia Mann says, a new perspective is a new reality.
Yes.
And you talk about how a miracle is just a shift of perspective.
I do. That's my line.
And just recently I was listening to someone talking about what a miracle really truly is. And what it is the power behind the manifestation.
Yes.
And you may think of it as the universe, you may think of it as God, might think of it as the energy. We read Waddles, what's his name, the Science of Getting Rich.
Yes.
We read that book on.
Wallace Waddles.
Thank you.
Yes.
So we have a recording of it, and we give it away free sometimes
mm-hmm.
to our listeners and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about that energy in between everything.
He actually considers it a substance.
Yes.
And I love that when you think about it. You know, I think that, who's the guy in the wheelchair? Big quantum physicist.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Oh, for heaven.
Stephen Hawking.
Yes, thank
Oops.
You.
I mean, I think he would even say, you know, there's a substance between the things. There's a substance through the things. I mean, it's kind of like a substance abuse. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes.
I'm just happy right now. I'm sorry.
But what is interesting, though, is that if we think of it, take it to one next step higher, from a higher vibration, and that stuff is the miracle.
Yes.
Because that
You're
stuff
right.
gets you to the point of manifestation.
Yes.
As that power. And so as we take it higher and higher, yes.
Yeah, but you know, but you're talking about that power, but it's you have to be a certain vibration to sort of access it better.
Right.
I mean, it's always around us. But sometimes we're in the muddle of things, and so we don't see it, maybe, or take advantage of it, or, you know, get into alignment, as Anya would say. What was it, the alignment and the...
Attuning and allowing.
And the allowing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about this before, about alignment. We wrote a paper, we did a little small book, United. It was...
The five A's of manifesting,
yes. And, of course, one is aligning,
because
it's all about alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And getting your emotions into that field of where you want to go. I'm losing my voice a little bit. Sorry about that.
I'm starting to want to sing about when the moon is in the second house.
It can kind of feel that way, can't it?
And Jupiter aligns with Mars.
Yeah.
And peace will guide the planet. And love will stir the stars.
There you go. That's and that isn't that all it is about? Yeah. It's about that kind of love.
Mm.
That's for sure. That's for sure. But let's just recap the... I want to ask you before we take off for the weekend, and we'll see everybody next week. First off, you can get the book Unwavering Strength at unwaveringstrength.com. But, Mom, this weekend you've kind of had a couple of Norman Rockwell
I
days.
Did. You know, we're talking about happiness, and
yeah.
It was kind of an interesting weekend because I wanted to kind of travel this weekend, but I really didn't get a chance to. But we went on day trips, you know. And we were, Norm and I went to visit our garden in Oregon, Illinois. And so we were looking, we just had one little tiny tomato that was red. There's like 40 green ones still. But so we pulled that one, and there was a guy who sees he works for the park district, and he was in his little, they have a little kind of a little cabin there. And in the winter, he makes honey. Did he make honey? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And he had his apple press out, and he was making apple cider. So he said, hey, come over and have some apple cider. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. You know, it's this beautiful fall day. And then he goes, hey, you see all these tomatoes here on the ground? These are just community tomatoes. You can take whatever you want. And then he goes out and gets us this big plastic container, you know, and he starts filling the container up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I started literally having like an out-of-body experience. Like it was like Norman Rockwell, because in there's just like 20 acres of sunflowers, and it was like a golden sun, and we're in this little garden, there's tomatoes, and he's got his little, you know, apple press, and there happened to be just like a little black dog in the area, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. This is really good.
And
I wanted to soak it in.
He looks the part. He has his beard. He's a little older guy, and
yeah.
He
looks the part, and he kind of is built like, in my mind, what I call redwood men.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you kind of like go, well, I kind of melt a little bit. You know,
yeah,
a redwood man's
sure.
going to protect you. Right?
For sure.
Take care of you.
And he has the sweetest energy,
yeah.
But he makes honey. He doesn't make the honey, but however he farms it or whatever,
yeah.
he makes syrup, maple syrup.
Yes.
And then he does the apple press and has
makes
apple
cider. Yeah.
What's the difference between apple cider and apple juice? Because the apple cider was delicious.
Yeah.
Is there a difference?
No.
Is there more pulp in apple cider?
It's a little thicker, I think.
Yeah, it does feel thicker.
Yeah.
So I was just curious if there was a difference.
Yeah, I imagine juice probably has other ingredients besides apples. Do you think?
No. I mean, you can get it just apple juice, just apple juice.
It's just, like you look at the ingredient, it just says apples.
Apples, yes.
No water.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
See, because this was just apples.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pressed.
Right. Pressed down, shaken, stirred.
Do whatever you gotta do.
Yeah. And so my second Norman Rockwell moment was we were going for a ride today, and two-lane country road, all this, you know, gorgeous leaves turning and no traffic anywhere. And out from, you know, just like in front of us, like a family of five or six of those. What are those animals that kind of...
Raccoons.
Yeah, I was going to say they kind of die all together.
Yes.
Like, yeah. And right out in front of us, you know, luckily we didn't hit any, but it was so cute to see this little, you know, five or six little animals all together crossing the road. And then not really, not even like a minute later, this, like, out from the trees, this, like, eight-point buck comes in the middle of this two-lane road and just stands there and looks at us, like, okay, you know, the sun's on him. And I'm just, like, in awe. Like, could we be any luckier? Could this be any blessed?
No.
It's just like, okay, Norman Rockwell, thank you. You know, and yet there's a little tiny bit of bittersweetness to all of this because I hate to bring it down, but, you know, we know that this means that kind of winter's on its way, and everybody's just like remembers what the last one was like. It's like one in more than a decade, like, you know, like a
every other
years.
Weekend it was, you know, it was a vortex, the Arctic vortex coming down and making it cold, and the snow kept coming and coming. And everyone in the Midwest has been talking about...
That's all we talk about, really.
This was another winter like last winter.
It can't be.
We can't do move. It. It was just too much.
It's too much.
We got through it.
We had, on May 15th, we had, you know, a blizzard. Well, it wasn't a blizzard.
No.
It didn't last long. But we probably had 2 or 3 inches of snow.
Yes. In May.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, so we're all just kind of like, you know, feeling the beauty of this. And yet it just a little tinge of bittersweetness that, you know, what's beyond this? What's going to be the winter like, you know?
And
but we'll stay with Norman Rockwell.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because here we are. I appreciate the fact that you're able to find the peace, the joy, and the enjoyment of this world on a day like today, beautiful day.
I did, you know what, and I chose it too. Because I was a bit of a curmudgeon this morning.
No, really?
Yeah, just a little
bit.
Just
a little bit, yeah.
I don't know why, but if I have syrup in the morning, which I don't do, but I did, I get like blood sugary or something. I don't know if I get
right.
And then I just go, you know what? I'm choosing today to find peace, some joy.
Yeah.
Cusk, you know, I had to have some patience.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think it's a good point. So I think we can end it on like that. And
yeah.
Like that. So this week, everyone, find your unwavering strength. Ask yourself that question, where am I showing strength today?
And Where will I show my strength today?
And where will I find my Norman Rockwell situation?
Yeah, let's find our Norman Rockwell moment every day.
Every day, that in my mind means just that simple joy.
Well, you know, like we were babysitting Bear this weekend, and Bear is a big, what kind of dog?
St. Bernard.
And so he was in our van, along with 50 pounds of extra hair now.
Yeah,
and we were waiting for Norm to come back out of Farm and Fleet, and he was up front, and this lady and her son just stopped and goes, "Oh, what a big doggy!" And you know, so we had this like 3 minute conversation about dogs and. She talked about her German Shepherd, but I didn't know this person, but it was just sweet, you know, that was another Norman Rockwell moment, because here we are with this big dog, you know, big St. Bernard, and you know, talking about German Shepherds. And
I think that could only happen in a small town in the Midwest.
That's true.
I could be wrong.
You could be wrong.
But or a small town anywhere.
Small town USA.
Because the people that came up to us, had a T-shirt they had just gotten from a soda pop weekend or a soda pop
taste of soda pop.
That's it.
In Dixon, Illinois.
Yes. I'm not sure what they tasted, but I guess a lot of soda. Old-fashioned soda pop.
Norman Rockwell root beer, Jill.
Exactly.
In small-town USA.
So I want to say thank you, everyone, for joining us on tonight's show. You can always get our archives at bbsradio.com.
I thought you were going to say WGN.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, you wish, girlfriend.
I do. No. bbsradio.com/lifeofthegirlfriend. You can just find our archives there. And all our great shows in the past. I'm getting a little slap happy, aren't I? Let's just end this, baby. So I want to say, everyone have a great night. We'll see you next week.
And I want to say, it was great.
It was great.
It was great.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
It was great. It was great.